perspective. We got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, tonight.
And welcome to episode 167 of Geek Girls. The Geek Girls podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at patreon.com/grills. I am Linda, and I am joined by my co-host, September, also known as 9 of 12.
Hello, hello.
And Ray. So today's topic is Transformers War for Cybertron Siege, which is the new Netflix Transformers miniseries, I guess you would call it. It's only 6 episodes. But it's part of a trilogy. Who knows when the next parts are coming out? But I believe fans of the show who have listened for a while know that I am a Transformers fan. So I will be taking a point on this. I can't help it. Look, I have my prowl. And I can't reach my Jazz. He's up too high. It's okay. Okay. Back up and go.
We believe you. We know.
Up on your... Okay. So, what have y'all been up to?
Well, so I might be having a reaction to a new medication, or I might be allergic to tomato vines. Has been the other what the hell happened to me. It's healing up now, but I end up calling my doctor on Friday because... my face was coming off. It was doing weird stuff. I was like, it's not poison ivy. It doesn't itch. It doesn't burn. It doesn't hurt. I just had this like welting and then flaking around my eyes and on my nose. And I was like, oh no, it's lupus. I mean, I know it's never lupus, but being I already have autoimmune issues, and it was like across starting to spread across my cheeks, and it looked like eczema. I was like, no. And my doctor, of course, wasn't in the office. So I was like, all right, well, it could be the new medication, blah, 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 blah. And so I just kind of treated it the best I could. And I was waiting for my doctor to call me back today. And they never, I think they did, but it didn't come through my phone. But I've got it mostly healed up now. And I remembered when I went out with a friend on Saturday that it had started actually right after I had cut back a bunch of my tomato vines. And Rob and I were looking it up. And you could be perfectly fine with tomatoes and everything, but like have an allergic reaction to the vines that acts like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Weird. And they are kind of prickly, you know, and I did have a few little like hives on my hand. So I'm guessing that was it. I'm going to test it.
That's the horrible thing. When you're like, all right, that sucked. I guess I have to test it out to figure out what it was.
Yeah,
and then I have to get it again.
But at least I can control the area, you know, and then slap some cortisone on it instead of ending up with my face peeling off.
Yeah, that almost sounds like sunburn / chemical burn. So,
yeah, but it was like spotty.
Ugh.
Like, I was like, what the hell? I
don't know. Anyway. Do tomatoes spit acid to protect themselves?
No, but it's basically a form of contact dermatitis.
Mm.
So, I hope that was it. And it's either that or because the new drug was a statin, I didn't want to just go off it, even though the nurse said, oh... well, it should be fine for just a few days to just go off that one in case that's it, and then she'll call you on Monday. But then they called me back, and just at quarter, at like 15 minutes past the time they closed, they called me back, left a message saying, hey, give us a call. I called, and I just got their voicemail because they had shut off the phone system. Right. But they called me after they were closed. There was no way for me to get through, and I was like, well, I better just keep taking the med, because... it may very well be that one of the nurses thought of the thing I thought of, is you don't just stop taking a statin. Yeah. So, and if it turns out it was that, I mean, and it's not doing that to my skin anymore, it just took getting used to. So anyway, yeah, that's the annoying thing this week. Not very nerdy or anything, except that, you know, we look everything up like nerds. I started watching Below Decks. I was super interested in it. All of you who hang out on Twitch have been... We had the ads pushed at us for a while, and I had been seeing good things from my friends, and it looks like right up my alley. And I was going to wait, because we didn't want to get CBS All Access until Picard starts again. But it is... You can watch the first episode right now for free on Pluto TV, which is a free app, and it's on channel 110. I have a good friend who's kept telling me, because their schedule only posts like a few hours ahead of time, and he for days would just message me when the next couple times it was going to be on until I could finally sit down and fucking watch it. I do recommend Pluto TV. I will say I have a bad thing to say and a good thing to say. It's pretty good. It has a ton of really cool programming. Like, there's a zillion channels, lots of things like old school Doctor Who, and just many, many channels. I mean, everything from that to the Today Show, as far as live TV and stuff. But we finally got it loaded up, and we're sitting down, and we're ready to go, and it glitched out. And because you can't rewind or anything like that with it, it was, you know, by the time if I could get it reloaded and get the app to work, it was going to play again in a few hours or maybe tomorrow. And I'm like, oh my God. So Rob said, hey, you know, CBS has been nagging me. And because we had it before, they had offered us a free month of CBS All Access. So he grabbed his email and we was like, hell with it. We'll just sign up and start up the CBS All Access. And so we watched the first episode last night. There is a second episode out already. We're going to watch tonight. And those are apparently coming out weekly. I don't know for how long, but I really did love it. It was hilarious. It gave enough fan service to people who are Trekkies, I feel, and like the format, like it was like an animated, edgy version, but very self-aware of like, this is what happens every episode. Like, you get in this kind of shit and then some random scrappy thing solves the problem. And so yeah, that was loads of fun. Also, we never watched Korra, the Legend of Korra, all the way through.
Oh, okay.
And we had watched Avatar not long ago, all the way through again, and now Korra is available on Netflix, and so we started watching that from the beginning our next binge.
I just remember the first season of Korra, because they didn't know if they were getting a second season, I was like, I have emotional whiplash! God!
yeah. And we kind of like stopped and didn't go back, and so we're starting from the beginning. We're like, after having just watched Avatar freshly all the way through, it was really cool to be like, all right, now we're gonna do this. I'm liking it more than I remembered. There's a lot of aesthetic things I really, really like the steampunky, and then how the music cleverly fits in that, you know, 20s style music.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and the animation jump, you know, just because of the way that evolved all the way through Avatar. And I'm going to shut my mail off so it stops pinging at us. what else? Should we do a heads up for people for our next book club? That's going to be in a while.
Well, right? It's October.
We're doing The Secret History of Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, yes. Mm-hmm.
So,
which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I thought we should...
Gotta get it.
Mention that to anyone out there who wants to join in and read that book. Give you plenty of time. Heresy and Hearsay is back up and running. We did an episode last week about liars. And then tomorrow, the other thing I'm looking forward to is, well, that'll come later. Tomorrow we're going to talk about John Lewis, I believe. Rob is making me spice racks.
Hey.
Yeah. Nice. He has a new friend. And she is apparently a little OCD about her kitchen organization. And they got talking about it, and he's like, man, because we have very little storage space in my kitchen, and I use a zillion different spices, and I need more cupboard space, but there's like just entire shelves full of different spices and spice blends and herbs. And so he went and got some poplar, and he's built these kind of modular shelves so we could add more later that are going to fit on the wall in the kitchen. So I'm going to be able to like clear out at least one or two shelves, at least one shelf at this point, of bottles of spices to have for cupboard space. And I'm going to wood burn stuff on them, leaves and herbs, and then we're going to stain it with that acrylic method I had talked about before that we developed. So, you know, like, I'll be doing the finishing, making it all fancy. Although I think we're going to wood burn together. We'll see how that goes. So, I briefly logged into WoW. I was having trouble sleeping last night, and my son took some of his birthday money and subscribed because he likes to play Classic now and again. And that kind of gave me access, you know, because he uses my account. And
yeah.
I logged in for minutes. Like, because the whole thing is facing that my guild fell apart. Like, the guild message of the day is, if anybody wants to revive this guild, let me know. And I'm like,
yeah.
And she wasn't even on. So I just kind of just bailed back out. I might play a little if I find some time, but I'd have to update my add-ons too and everything.
Yeah, I don't miss all the add-on maintenance, having to do that after every patch.
Yeah. That's no fun. That, and I couldn't get it to work, like the add-on manager I used to use, I can't even remember what it's called, but they switched something, so I had to just individually do them.
Go through and disable each one.
Yuck.
Yeah.
So what are you even up to?
So I recently, over the weekend, completed all the quests in Stardew Valley.
All the Chivas?
I don't get an achievement for it, but now I feel empty. It's like you complete all your quests in WoW. And it's like, well, there's nothing else to do in this section. I better move on to the next area. I'm like, but there's no other area. So I'm like, I guess I could start doing, like, finding things to do. Like, there's a whole casino section I haven't touched because I wanted to make sure I had enough money to get the $2 million rod so I can instantly transport home and not have to worry about paying you passed out, so we're charging you 1,000 gold, and randomly some of your items will disappear. So I don't have to worry about that anymore now that I have a stupid amount of money. So I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I guess I could finish up the Chivos, but the main drive is kind of gone now. Let's see. The other thing we did is we watched, I watched Space Force on Netflix because I'm like, oh, hey, this cast looks incredible. And there's John Malkovich. And I love John.
Oh, yeah. I love Space Force.
I'm like, that's okay. I kind of had higher hopes for it. It gets better as it goes, but it's still.
I think
kind
my
of
expectations were low. So I just got like a huge charge out of the snarkiness. Like,
oh,
that's
yeah.
My style of humor very much. And
oh, yeah.
The political
John
jabs.
Is the best thing. Like, him, and I really like the relationship between Chang and Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I want more of that, and I hope it gets picked up for another one, but it's. I don't know, trying to compare it to something like All About Ted or Parks and Rec or especially The Good Place is it's definitely below for me. So, but it's not bad. Like, definitely have it on in the background or give it a shot. But you
it's
don't
a style that really appears to me the comedic writing. Like, I feel like Colbert could have wrote that.
That I like,
might be.
People sometimes
from
it's
that
good.
Cast keep showing up there.
It's not bad. I got a few more sketches done, and I started a painting. Let's see if this actually shows this time.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
Oh, come on.
It's so cute.
No, it's the paint. So it's metallic paint all around. And I think using it for the background is great because it kind of pushes it forward. But having everything in that metallic paint is not good. And the color green is too blue. I want it more yellow. And the yellow I have is more like an ochre, like a brownish yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to have to dig out some of my old acrylics and fix it and just redo the character. I love the background. The background is beautiful and simple, and I love it.
And artist problems.
I'm fussy. You know
you're fussy.
But, yeah, and that'll probably be when I finish up because it's kind of just a surprise gift between that and the illustration board for my friends, so. That's me. What about you, Linda?
As for me, I'm trying to finish my Cats of the Year blanket. I actually have it on my lap right now. I'm going to put it down when we start talking about the topic, but, oh, God, it's so huge. It's so big.
You're so fluffy, I'm
gonna die! Hold on. And I'm sewing it together, so there's still big holes in it that are not supposed to be.
It's so big!
It's so big.
Huge.
We know when I have a better able picture of it, I'll actually like post it somewhere so it can be seen. So I was trying to like finish up that, and I've got the big like header for it that has all the paw prints on it, and I was gonna make a footer for it, but making the header took so long that I'm like, I just don't wanna. Like, I'll have to like actually lay it out to see if it's like off balance, because if it's off balance, I'm gonna have to. but you know, if it doesn't make any difference, I'll just leave it the way it is because. I'm kind of done. You reach that point with some of your projects where you're like, that's good, I'm done.
Yeah.
And otherwise, crochet-wise, I've started working on a bunch of Bulbasaur variations. Like, I've made... this is the head for, like, the normal colored one. But then This is the one that I'm going to do for a fall. So I basically... I've got, like, seasonal variations. So for spring, I wanted to do... There was one that came out around Valentine's Day. It was the pink one with the red spots and the rose. I want to make that. For summer, I want to do either yellow with orange spots or brown with yellow spots that has a sunflower on its back. For fall, the light purple or a dark purple with black spots... and a jack-o'-lantern or a pumpkin. Cool. And then for winter, I want to do white with dark green spots and a pine cone on its back.
Oh,
for, like,
neat.
Yeah. So I think I hit...
It'd be like his little friend, though, too, then. Because
yeah.
The pine cone
there's,
Pokemon.
Yeah. maybe I'll give it eyeballs. The little
there
pine cone will have eyes.
Mr. Pine cone.
But yeah, I think there came a point during the weekend where my brain went, no more crochet, because I got distracted and rearranged my craft room. I looked up from crocheting and went, that bookshelf could go on that other wall. And then those shelves could go over there. I'm going to put this down and I'm going to go shove things around my room.
Yep. Been there.
Yeah. Let's see, during my D&D campaign, I scared the crap out of my players by doing an actual haunted forest thing. like, they got done with the main, like, they were dealing with an intellect devourer, but they got done with that in, like, 20 minutes. And so they were like, all right. And I was like, okay, well, travel time. And then they realized that their straightest shot between where they were and where they wanted to go was through a haunted forest. And as they're, like, role-playing, I'm, like, flipping through the monster manual, going, where's ghosts? Where's the will-o'-the-wisp? Give me this. Put this here. Put that up in roll 20. Like, I was, like, flailing at roll 20 while they were talking. Like,
right on.
And they didn't notice, and I was just like, all right, here we go. And they actually got, they were like, holy crap, because ghosts can possess the players. And one managed to do it.
Oh,
so I had control of one of their players for one of their PCs for a little while. Unfortunately, it was the Portent's wizard who isn't a very good fighter, so he just kind of ineffectually stabbed at the half orc. But it was funny nonetheless.
That's probably for the best for them.
Yeah. Let's see. And then my husband and I watched In Search of Darkness on Shudder, which is this, like, 4-hour nostalgia trip into 80s horror movies. It's very... Oh, yeah, it's very good. They go year by year and, like, highlight the big horror movies that came out and, like, different themes and tropes that, like, came about because of these horror movies.
Where
it's
is
very
that,
interesting. Shudder.
Oh, Shudder.
Right. Yeah, the you can get
story.
A you can get a like we signed up. We got a seven-day free trial through Amazon Prime.
Gotcha.
So we basically were like, yeah, let's do it. So we were just like, get the free trial, and we just sat there on Saturday night until like 2:30 in the morning watching this 4-hour thing. It was very good. Right. So that was basically my week. Along with it being the week from hell at work, but let's not go into that.
Okay.
We will speak no more of it.
So now we're gonna get into our discussion topic.
Autobots, transform and roll out!
Yes, I adjust my glasses. So,
talk to me about Transformers.
Yes, I'm gonna talk to you about this series in particular. Because talking about just Transformers in general, I will talk for another hour, and that will not fit in the show.
I honestly think I thought that it was just you talking about Transformers, not specifically the War for Cybertron on Netflix series.
Oh no, we know that's not. That's a whole series of shows.
You don't want that.
we've had plenty of Transformers discussions that, you know, weren't even,
okay.
They didn't even start out that way. But I have questions about this one because you are the expert, so that's interesting.
Expert, quote unquote. Don't at me.
I didn't say fanatic.
Yeah, so
I wanted to be flattering.
The War for Cybertron trilogy that they're doing on Netflix, it's a 3-part series, basically. They've released the first part, which is called Siege, and there's 6 episodes, so it's a short miniseries. They don't really have a timeline for when the next 2 seasons, I guess you could call them, are going to come out, just because of things being up in the air with COVID and everything. So I watched it all 6 episodes at once because I binged the whole thing. Didn't take very long. And then I went online and was like, when is the next season coming out? They were like, it'll be out within a year. Great!
Okay, but obviously you liked it because you wanted more as soon as possible, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. There have been a couple of reviews saying it's too dark and gritty, but I don't think so. I think it's just... I think they were expecting a kid's cartoon, and it is not.
I was going to say, I like, for me, that it is kind of dark and gritty. Like, I actually just described it to Rob that way after I watched the first episode.
Yeah.
And I actually, because it's computer animated, I felt like they did a super good job of, like, the texturing and stuff making, because sometimes with the computer animation, it's just, like, it's so clean. Like, it's animation, so it seems like a weird thing to say, but sometimes it's like, oh my god, it just looks so fake. Like, you can't attach to it. But it being dark and gritty, fitting into, they're in this war.
It's a dark time. Yeah, it's very much the Autobots are kind of the remnants of a resistance. Like, the Decepticons have kind of won. But there are still, obviously, Optimus Prime is still alive, and there's still a resistance going on. So, it's very much a story of their, like, almost kind of last stand slash, you know, final push to try and, like, have some sort of hope, because they are very few. And it's like every episode is them, like, oh god, oh ow, I'm sorry, ow.
And I mean, it's kind of tropey in the, I mean, in the, it always has been with the, you know, the Decepticons being obvious, some kind of militaristic fascist wanting to run everything, and then the Autobots are like your scrappy underdogs, right? And I don't know the whole history of Cybertron and the Transformers the way you do, and I wondered if there was any retconning you feel that I just don't know about, like being introduced to, and I mean, how long has this been out? Can we do spoilers? Or should we just tell people spoilers if you haven't watched this yet?
Yeah, there's probably going to be some spoilers.
All right.
I'll try not to spoil too much, because I know you're not done with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I'm okay with spoilers, too. I'm not a problem. I don't have a problem with that, because I feel I'm, in my whole life philosophy, you can experience things differently. but Bumblebee basically being introduced
as a neutral,
given people a spoiler warning. Yeah, that, well, he wasn't an Autobot, that he was this merc.
Yeah, he's basically a scavenger in this series, which I can't remember if any of the previous incarnations have done something like that. They may have. I know a bunch about, like, the Transformers universe, but there are so many, like, not only TV shows, you know, the animated movies, there's a comic series. There's several different comic lines.
But do you know if any of them have ever told this period before?
The game War for Cybertron is similar. Like, it's a similar kind of setting. It's the ruined cities, the Autobots are kind of on the run. But even in the game, the Autobots have more of a foothold than they do in this one. There may be a comic version of this that I haven't read. But I will say, for, like, in terms of, like, changing the story, quote unquote, every iteration of Transformers changes the story. So this is its own entity. It's different from comics that came before it. It's different from the movies. It's different from cartoons. This is a
They just
new...
don't have a canon? Is that what you're...
They do, but it's whatever canon you like best. Like, I really like the Transformers Prime and the Transformers animated canons, but they are two totally separate universes.
It's kind of like My Little Pony. Like,
kind of, yeah.
You have the original My Little Pony from, like, the 1980s.
Just like there was... My Little Pony. Transformers is just like My Little Pony.
It's Hasbro.
No, I'm sorry.
It is Hasbro.
Hasbro's really bad at continuity. Is that what we're...
You're not wrong.
Sued for?
No, but you're not wrong. And the reason Hasbro is bad at continuity is because they're basing their continuity off of toy sales.
Yep. We need shiny new versions for a shiny new universe. Buy them!
There's already toys for this.
Yep.
The toys existed before this came out on Netflix.
I'm not shocked as somebody who also had Transformer toys growing up.
Yeah, yeah. Shocked face.
I'm sorry. And I didn't mean to run over you, Ray. It was just like, in my head, there was a title in there somewhere.
But, like, it was really hilarious because I actually listened to a couple of folks on YouTube were doing, like, their predictions about what this one might be about. And somebody was like, well, there's a Mirage. Mirage is one of the characters. There's a Mirage toy that's a Decepticon, so maybe he's a turncoat. And it's like, you have no idea what's going to happen in this, but you have seen that toy. So you know at some point he's got a Decepticon badge on him and he's a different color. But you know it's Mirage because they put his name on it. So it was just...
Now, Alita... So
looks very
this is like,
different.
I don't know anything about that. I was just like, Alita, that's like that movie, that cool movie I like and boy, her name doesn't sound like a Transformer name at all. Or an Autobot, well, you know.
Her full title is Alita 1. Okay. I think they just call her Alita in this one. Let me see. Da-da-da-da, voice acting.
But I didn't like her. I don't remember, of course, I'm not the fan you are, like, Optimus Prime having this love interest situation.
Oh, yeah, that's canon from G1, from Generation 1. The first iteration of this is that they were a couple before, okay, back up. Before Optimus was Optimus, he was Orion Pax. And before Alita was Alita, she was Ariel. They both got blown up in a dock accident because Decepticons, and they got reformatted into Optimus Prime and Alita 1. So, yes, the relationship is canon, quote-unquote, going back all the way to Generation 1. But they don't always keep that in every iteration. Some iterations have no Alita 1.
I think those are the only ones I've seen, apparently. Or remember, because some of this stuff was when I was so little, and it wasn't even called Transformers half the time.
Well, yeah.
So, the other thing I want to say I really found, to me, I noticed about the way they're being drawn that I really liked, is they looked like Transformers, right? Because some of the cartoons, some of the animated features, it's just... And even in the movies and stuff, they kind of sleek things up. Because I was a kid when Transformers were a very popular toy. And that, oh my god, they're not easy to transform. It's the whole thing was like so cool. But then they look like, and they did a good job in this where they're walking around doing stuff. And some of them have those awkward proportions with the tiny head. But I appreciated that, like... Like, oh, look, there's a side quarter panel with a wheel on his elbow. And, oh, it still doesn't make sense. It's for another planet, and they look like American vehicles. I liked that they looked like you could do all the, you know, shit you have to do and transform them into vehicles.
Like, my one little, like, I generally tend to keep an open mind about whatever... new one comes about, especially because this is like only the first chapter, first season. I was like, shouldn't you make them look more like alien vehicles? You know what? I'm not going to think about it. We're not going to look too hard at it.
Well, that's like never been a thing.
What do you mean?
Because they've always, even though the origin supposedly... they're from the planet Cybertron. They've always looked like, well, other than the ones that are ray guns and jet fighters, but that's still, like, that's Earth stuff. They've always transformed into Earth stuff. Optimus Prime is a freaking semi.
So, that's the one thing that they do better in some of the other animated versions, is if they start on Cybertron, Well, let's take Transformers Prime, for example. They don't start on Cybertron, however, they've been on Earth for a while, and all the Autobots have Earth vehicle modes. But then you get to Megatron, who has not been on Earth for a while in this particular instance. Again, we're talking about the Prime, Transformers Prime series. And he never, ever takes an Earth vehicle mode. He is always this really weird, spiky, alien-looking, like, space jet. Which I thought was very, like, a good thing for them to do.
That kind of makes sense. Like, they...
Yeah.
Refitted when they got to this planet to fit in, you know.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And I don't know if it's just because they had, it was a short series, they didn't think about it, or they didn't care to, it's whatever. It's, again, I'm not gonna look too hard at it. I think they made the toys first
and then they decided they were from another planet.
Probably.
I bet if we looked back.
In the original, that is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
In the original, when they got the toys first from Japan, and they gave it to one of their, like, not understudies, that's not the right word. They gave it to, like, one of the guys in the office and said, here, give these a story and names, and we're going to make a cartoon out of it to sell the toys.
Yeah.
They headcanon that somehow Cybertron sends out radio waves that scientists and engineers pick up on, and they're like inspired in their dreams, like, no, this is what this creation will look like. And thus they come down and they're like, oh, hey, look, there are things that kind of look like us, so we transform. We'll just fit right in, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. I was a nerd. I grew up in a GM household. And when they came out, the Transformers movies, that like all the Autobots were GM vehicles and all the Decepticons were like foreign, made me so happy. Just unreasonably happy.
I was amused by that.
I was like, oh my and God, then after a political thing.
And then after the first movie, it just turned into terrible Michael Bay fan fiction, and I was done with it. it's awful. I have feelings about the Bay movies. I pretend like they don't exist, except for the first one, because that gets a pass, but only sometimes.
Yeah, I was kind of okay with the first one. The second one, I was like, oh, wow, nope. This is garbage. Now I can watch any of them, and it's just kind of like, I'm in the mood for a popcorn, fun, explodey thing. Like, the same reason I'll watch the Battlefield one, or that kind of garbage. Mm-hmm.
I stopped after the third one because I was like, I cannot take this. I cannot take how you are destroying something that brought me joy as a child.
Well, I think that's why the second one irritated the shit out of me, because they really went with like a lot of over the top cursing and stuff that was just so out of place, unnecessary. Like, are you really just trying to be that edgy? And this is like what I would take my kids to, and that's just going to make everyone uncomfortable. Why are you doing that?
Not to mention the racism, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I actually almost walked out, and I don't think I've ever actually walked out of a movie because I'm cheap.
But they actually, they're, for War for Cybertron, they're actually very respectful of the source material. There's actually a lot of Easter eggs in there if you're a longtime fan and you know what you're... like looking for. You're like, oh, I know that. Oh, that's a thing. Oh, yay. Like, they mention a couple of things about certain characters' backstories that are definitely like from earlier comics, or, you know, things like that. And it's just like, yay.
Yeah, there was one scene in the ambush, I think it's in the second one, where it was like kind of a roll call, so I mean, it made sense, but it was also super obvious fan service to me when it was like making sure everybody was in position, and they just like would show a quick still and show that different Autobot or that different Decepticon, and it was just Decepticon, that one. Look, your favorite is here, we promise. It just seemed so obviously upfront to me. But, yeah. I get it. You have to do that. I love fan service when I'm watching something and, like, It's got that stuff. I'm looking for my characters.
I'm a little upset that my favorite character wasn't in there, but maybe he'll be in the second chapter. Who knows? Give me my jazz.
That's what I thought.
Come on, he's like the coolest character. And Michael Bay killed him. I know what you did. Anyway. I went off on a tangent there, like I knew I would. But I can recommend Siege. There were some folks that were like, oh, they look too much like toys, and I'm like, that didn't bother me.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's...
But I think I have more experience with the actual toys, probably first gen, than I do with any of the shows. Yeah.
But something about how they're animated gives them a lot of weight, and, like, it doesn't feel like animated CGI characters being flung about. There's actual, like, impact, and they did a very good job with, like, showing... this is going to sound terrible, but showing injuries, and like you can tell this is very much the war scarred like Optimus, and like he's got all sorts of just pock marks and battle
yeah,
scars
they,
all
they
over.
Yeah, they did a good job with depth and weight, like in the sound design and their movement, like that kind of thing can really matter, and I think they did an excellent job with that stuff.
And they do show like later on like how kind of the Decepticon war machine works. It's a lot of propaganda. So it's a lot of Megatron standing up and like saying stuff over a large crowd over big monitors. So it's...
Well, when he was giving the speech in an arena that had all those flags that were very much in the kind of, you know, World War II propaganda style, I took that hint pretty easily.
Yep. They lean into that.
Sometimes you do. Star Wars did it.
Yeah. And again, there are homages to things that happen in other series and like the original series, like Impactor is one, what happens to him, Jetfire. So if you're a fan that's seen multiple of the series, you're like, okay, I know what's going to happen with this character. I know what's going to happen with this character. But there are a couple that are like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. So they do a very good mix of, you know, giving homage to the source material, but also doing their own thing. So that is my opinion.
I'm going to watch the rest of it. I know that.
I'm going to take you grab me on it.
Hey, it's only 6 episodes.
Yeah, it's only 6. They're only like a half hour long ish. And I like the 1.5 I watched, so I may as well watch the rest of it.
And hey, if you're into this kind of thing, Rotten Tomatoes apparently has given it a 100% rating.
Wow.
Wow.
It's only 13 critics, but it's 100% rating.
No, 13 people agree.
13 people agree.
It's 14. More than you can get in the room.
Yeah, 14 if you count me. if you're interested in listening to me ramble more about different types of Transformers, you can chime in by emailing us at geekgirls@gmail.com. I don't know, maybe you just thought it was funny, me going off on a tangent, but who knows?
Well, 2 out of 3 grills recommend. That watched all that some watched. And none.
Yes. So, what are y'all most anticipating coming up?
Getting that mask order finished. I still haven't. I've done 11 of 20 because I've done 10 of the 20 in the order, and I made Linda's new one.
Yay!
With the longer. I'll probably just send you both, like, in case you're good with the smaller. I don't know, maybe you have a small head, I don't know. and are fine with the tighter ear things or stretch it out or whatever. I have to figure out Rob's birthday present. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I have an idea. to maybe get a friend of mine who plays piano to lay a track for me and make him a song. But I'm not sure if I can even do it. So, yeah, I have to work on that because his birthday is September 10th. And mine's the 6th. And so that'll be a fun week. And I have to make... I have some wood-burning projects for my friend Lori and my friend Leah. There's all kinds of astrological stuff. Gonna watch more Lower Decks tonight. And I'm gonna watch the John Lewis documentary. I believe that's the one that's titled I'm Not Your Negro. But I know it's on, it's like the Amazon Prime BLM channel, and I'm gonna watch that to prep for tomorrow's Heresy and Hearsay. So that's what I'll be doing during the day tomorrow. That and masks.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to finish up that painting and maybe hopefully finish up my giant turtle painting too. I don't know, that guy just keeps staring at me. He wants to be done. And then my mom's birthday is at the end of this month, so I'm trying to figure out what to do for her. Like, I want to see her, but she's high risk, so I don't know. Like, I have an inflatable dinosaur costume. I guess I could go visit her in that.
Hee!
That might work. or I might just like send her a package with some nice stuff and some food. I'm not sure.
You know the best inflatable costume visit I've seen during the pandemic so far? BMO.
BMO. Oh,
from Big
God.
Hero 6 being like the medical they're there. Like, yeah, a friend of mine did that for his son for his birthday and I was like, oh my God, that is like perfect pandemic wear.
So good.
I'm your personal medical assistant.
And then for me, I'm gonna try to finish this cat blanket. It's adorable, but I'm done with it. And sure. Then I am hoping for a calmer week at work, considering how today went. I don't know if that's in the cards. However, hope springs eternal. So. I still love my job. It's just frustrating right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
It can ups and downs. Jobs are like that.
Yep, jobs are like that.
So, I guess that's all we're planning on. Remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills, and on most Monday evenings our next one will be August 24th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
In addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons. You're the greatest girlfriends on the internet, and you can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. Also, don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free, and they help our ranking, which helps other people find our podcast. And you can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word. So where can we find you, Grills, on the interwebs?
Well, I can be found at 9 of 12, that's NINAOF12, on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast. Ray?
You can find me on Instagram under Dapple Dame and on Twitch as Ray Ino. Linda?
You can find me on Twitch and on Instagram under the name madcap_misc, that's M-I-S-C as in miscellaneous. I know my own handle, thank you very much. And you, it's been a day. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Oh boy.